FRC 101.9 FM.
And good afternoon. It is, I think, almost exactly 4 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, and this is Finding a Voice. Spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. And we do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And coming up on the show today, in the first hour, well, maybe I should just lead into this. This will be the third week of what was intended to be a two-week, two-part series, but it became a three-part series because I'm working with four CD set disc. Well, I guess I'm repeating myself. Anyway, called Poets on Record, 98 poets read their work, 1888 to 2006. Again, this was gifted to me, I'm thinking, 12, 13 years ago by a good friend, Alice. And I've been, I play from that occasionally here on the show, maybe once or twice a year, some variation. What I've decided to do originally was to do a two-week series with discs one and two in the first week, and then discs three and four in the second week, which would have been last week. But I decided to go ahead and spread out. There's just too much poetry, really, on any of them, but I really wanted to include as much as I could of disc three and four. So I've blended in a little bit of music as well to go along with it last week and then again today. So last week was week two in that series, and so this is the third and final week. And again, from that, Poets on Record, 98 poets read their own work, 1888 to 2006. In a selection from disc four, in this first hour, you're going to hear readings by 11 poets, and they will be Adrian Lewis, Anne Waldman, Carolyn Forche, Deborah Garrison, Elise Passion, Elizabeth Alexander, James Tate, Joy Harjo, Wayne Philippe Herrera, Lee Young Lee, and Lucy Tapahanso. Again, as I mentioned, there will be a little bit of music included as well. And in the second hour, then again, from that same four CD set and disc four, you'll hear readings by 8 poets. Mostly, again, this particular week, even last week's, were mostly in the later 1900 to the early 2000s. But in this second hour, you'll hear Luis Rodriguez, Marilyn Chin, Pedro Pietri, Peter Balakian, Rita Dove, Sharon Olds, Vijay Shishadri, and Youssef Kamanyaka, again with a bit of music. And what I'm going to do, what I plan to do is group them in like just small groups of three or four poets, and then splash in a bit of music after that to kind of separate it. What I will do with each group is I will tell you who you're going to hear and also the titles of the poems that they're reading, because sometimes they don't always say that when they read the poem, or that wasn't included anyway in the recording. And then I will also, after they read, I will also tell you the three or four, or however many there is, poets that you just heard. So that way you kind of have an idea what you're listening to. One thing, my usual start of the hour announcement is occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language, but it will all be played in its entirety to honor the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. So let's go ahead and move in to this first group. You're going to hear two poems by Adrian Lewis, and the titles of those are The Printing on the Label of a Bottle of Non-Alcoholic Beer and The Sweat Lodge. And then by Anne Waldman, you're going to hear her reading of Uh-Oh, Plutonium, and then Carolyn Forche with her reading called The Colonel. I hope you enjoy. Let's go ahead and just jump right in. And I'm not sure here. Let me try this again. Just a second. I think I had the wrong track up. Here we go. This should work.
The fine printing on the label of a bottle of non-alcohol beer. The Chiefs are winning, and I'm on the couch waiting for the second half of their grunt tussle against the Redskins to begin. By ancient Indian habit, I dash to the fridge for more suds. For 4 years running now, it's been this sad non-alcohol beer for me and my liver. As usual, I read the health warning before I drink the ersatz brew. On the bottle's label it says, "My brother, you are pouring this illusion down your throat because you are an alcoholic child of alcoholic parents, and they were the alcoholic children of your alcoholic grandparents. Before your grandparents, your great-grandparents lived without fire water, without the ghost of electricity, without the white man's God, in bow and arrow old-time days, days of obsidian, days of grace, days of buckskin, days of grace, days of the war lance and the buffalo, days before your people learned how to hotwire the Great Spirit with chemical prayers. The last round began and the outside world did not exist. Black heat slammed me to the ground and I kissed the cool, cool earth. The lead man was an old radical. You suffer to be a man, was said, unsaid. Devil Red Rocks laughed and pulled the booze from my half Paiute bones. Angry spirits from the West spit words which are best left alone, unrepeated. Grandfather, I prayed, let me live, and it, I promise I'll never touch a drop again. Dancing lights of green and red shot from my eyes, and I sighed when the flap was finally open. A week later, I was at the Oasis Bar in Rapid City, drinking with Verdell and countless forlorn urban skins. It was air-conditioned there. Jimi Hendrix was inside the jukebox, lost in the purple haze of time.
The Colonel. Part of my education was to have meetings and dinners and nice lunches and breakfasts with persons in the army. Then, and some of them still. What you have heard is true. I was in his house. His wife carried a tray of coffee and sugar. His daughter filed her nails. His son went out for the night. There were daily papers, pet dogs, a pistol on the cushion beside him. The moon swung bare on its black cord over the house. On the television was a cop show. It was in English. Broken bottles were embedded in the walls around the house to scoop the kneecaps from a man's legs or cut his hands to lace. On the windows, there were gratings like those in liquor stores. We had dinner, rack of lamb, wine. A gold bell was on the table for calling the maid. The maid brought green mangoes, salt, a type of bread. I was asked how I enjoyed the country. There was a brief commercial in Spanish. His wife took everything away. There was some talk then of how difficult it had become to govern. The parrot said hello on the terrace. The colonel told it to shut up and pushed himself from the table. My friend said to me with his eyes, "Say nothing." The colonel returned with a sack, as is used to bring groceries home. He spilled many human ears on the table. They were like dried peach halves. There is no other way to say this. He took one of them in his hands, shook it in our faces, dropped it into a water glass. It came alive there. "I am tired of fooling around," he said. "As for the rights of anyone, tell your people they can go fuck themselves." He swept the ears to the floor with his arm and held the last of his wine in the air. "Something for your poetry, no?" he said. Some of the ears on the floor caught this scrap of his voice. Some of the ears on the floor were pressed to the ground.
And you just heard four poems read by three poets in order, Adrian Lewis, Anne Waldman, and then Carolyn Forché. And coming up next, I mentioned that I'd include a bit of music on the show, and I'm going to start with one song. This is how I kind of did it last week, too, so cue this up here. So here's the first song, and as I usually do as well, I will just credit it fully after I play it. So here you go.
My belly is craving, I gotta shake it in my head. And I feel like I'm dying, and I wish I was dead. If I live till tomorrow, it'll be a long time. And I'll reel and I'll fall and I'll learn not to care.
Heard that was Logan Statz, a musician, singer, songwriter. This was off of his, I believe, his debut album called Light in the Attic, and I believe it came out last year or 2 years ago, somewhere in there. So anyway, let me see if it shows on the disc here. I need to eject it anyway. I'm going to play another track off there later on in this hour. So what I will do is by then I will have discovered when this was released. Unless I can do it right now. Nope, I'll do it then. How's that? So hope you stick around for the full hour. Hope you're enjoying this show. Coming up next, you're going to hear, let's see, 1, 2, 3... 4 or 5, actually, poets coming up this go around, and you're going to hear Deborah Garrison first reading I Saw You Walking, and then Elise Passion with a poem called Two Standards, and then Elizabeth Alexander, the poem The Female Seer Will Burn Upon This Pyre, and then James Tate with The Lost Pilot. and then Joy Harjo with a poem called Grace. So here we go. Let's just jump back into it.
This is Deborah Garrison reading my poem, I Saw You Walking. I saw you walking through Newark Penn Station in your shoes of white ash. At the corner of my nervous glance, your dazed passage first forced me away, tracing the crescent birth you'd give a drunk, a lurcher, nuzzling all comers with ill will and his stench. But not this one, not today. One's shirt arms sheared clean from the shoulder, the whole bare limb wet with muscle and shining dimly pink. The other, full sheathed in cotton, Brooks Brothers type, the cuff yet buttoned at the wrist, a parody of careful dress, preparedness. So you had not rolled up your sleeves yet this morning, when your suit jacket, here are the pants, dark gray with subtle stripe, as worn by men like you on ordinary days, and briefcase, you've none, reverse commuter from the pit, with nothing to carry but your life, were torn from you, as your life was not. Your face itself seemed to be walking, leading your body north, though the age of the face, blank and ashen, passing forth and away from me, was unclear. The sandy crown of hair powdered white like your feet, but underneath not yet gray. 47, 48, the age of someone's father. And I trembled for your luck, for your broad, dusted back, half-shirted, walking away. I should have dropped to my knees to thank God you were alive. Oh, my God, in whom I don't believe.
Two Standards, at a Native Writers' Conference in Norman, Oklahoma. Jones, 1/8. I'm 1/4. When we walk into Billy's, I want to look like her, full Osage. You wouldn't find an Indian here, she tells me, if not for the conference. And the cigar-chewing driver, shuttling in from the Will Rogers Airport, confides, I never seen so many Indians all in one spot. The bar's packed like a bar should be. Joan shows me off, introducing her friends to a light-haired, East Coast-educated outsider whose mother, Betty Tallchief, is Oklahoma's pride. At that table are some Osages you should meet. They know my relatives in Fairfax, though they come from Pawhuska, Pawnee. Angela says the Tallchiefs, the keepers of the drum, will host the Osage dances next June. Will you join us? You'll be given your Osage name. Even though my grandmother Tallchief's daughters became famous as ballet dancers, she displayed photographs of my mother and aunt when they were 12, 11, in Osage ceremonial dress, performing at a powwow. My mother said her father's mother taught her those dances. I say, when asked, I never wanted to dance, but here in Billy's, with the jukebox repeating the Beatles' Twist and Shout, all I want is to dance and to adopt my mother's Osage name, Waxe Thunba, Two Standards. All I want is to return to Oklahoma and answer Angela, yes, though New York City's half a continent away. I am my mother's daughter, Two Standards, and tonight, forgetting my given name, I will take that ancestral one.
This is Elizabeth Alexander. This poem is called The Female Seer Will Burn Upon This Pyre. Sylvia Plath is setting my hair on rollers made from orange juice cans. The hairdo is shaped like a pyre. My locks are improbably long. A pyramid of lemons somehow balances on the rickety table where we sit, in the rented kitchen which smells of singed naps and bergamot. Sylvia Plath is surprisingly adept at rolling my unruly hair. She knows to pull it tight. few words, her flat American belly, her breasts in a twin sweater set, stack of typed poems on her desk, envelope stamped to go by the door, a freshly baked poppy seed cake, kitchen safety matches, black-eyed Susans in a cobalt jelly jar. She speaks a word, immolate, then a single sentence of prophecy. The hairdo done, the nursery tidy, the floor swept clean of burnt hair and bumblebee husks.
The Lost Pilot for My Father, 1922 to 1944. Your face did not rot like the others. The co-pilot, for example, I saw him yesterday. His face is corn mush. His wife and daughter, the poor ignorant people, stare as if he will compose soon. He was more wronged than Job. But your face did not rot like the others. It grew dark and hard like ebony. The features progressed in their distinction. If I could cajole you to come back for an evening, down from your compulsive orbiting, I would touch you, read your face as Dallas, your hoodlum gunner, now with the blistered eyes, reads his Braille editions. I would touch your face as a disinterested scholar touches an original page. However frightening, I would discover you, and I would not turn you in. I would not make you face your wife, or Dallas, or the co-pilot, Jim. You could return to your crazy orbiting, and I would not try to fully understand what it means to you. All I know is this. When I see you, as I have seen you at least once every year of my life, spin across the wilds of the sky like a tiny African god, I feel dead. I feel as if I were the residue of a stranger's life, that I should pursue you. My head cocked toward the sky, I cannot get off the ground, and you, passing over again, fast, perfect, and unwilling to tell me that you were doing well, or that it was mistake that placed you in that world and me in this, or that misfortune placed these worlds in us.
Grace was a woman with time on her
Just heard readings by Deborah Garrison, Elise Patchen, Elizabeth Alexander, James Tate, and Joy Harjo. Again, these were all off of the Poetry on Record, or Poets on Record. No, Poetry on Record. Poets on Record, 98 poets read their work. So there you go. I think that's right. And I've also seen it as Poetry on Record, so I guess I'll have to check that out along with when Logan Statt's album came out. So what I'm going to do now is play another little bit of music, and again, I will credit this immediately after the... Yeah, let's see. It says no disc. I don't know why it's doing that. Let's try this. Okay. Third time's a charm, maybe. Here we go. Just thinking about it. Here we go. Sorry for the delay. Here we go. Here's the second song this hour. I am definitely having motor challenges here right now. Let's try this again. 98th time's a charm. Here we go.
Your job is losing doors. It's a restless wind and a sleepless rain. Don't worry. Cause under the ocean, at the bottom of the sea, you can't hear the storm. It's as peaceful as can be. It's just the
just heard Richard and Linda Thompson off their 1982 Shoot Out the Lights album with a song called Just Emotion. Back to, and it is, I looked it up, it is Poetry on Record. And so Poetry on Record, 98 poets read their own work, 1888 to 2006. Disc four, I've got three more poets from that to air in this hour, and then I think it's eight or something like that in the second hour. I'll tell you at the top of the hour, but it strikes me as being right. Anyway, you're going to hear, you're going to hear poems by John Philippe Herrera, and titles I'm looking up here, Logan Heights and the World. And then you're going to hear a poem by Li Young Lee, My Father in Heaven is Reading Out Loud. And then you're going to hear a poem by Lucy Tapahanso called Raisin Eyes. So three poems coming up in this segment. Just get it all queued up here. And there we should be good to go. So first up, Juan Felipe Herrera.
Mm-hmm. come from a neighborhood where you can see the bay from the kitchen. We kicked a highway patrol out from our barrio and put a Chicano park in its place. Right across the street from La Central, where I would buy tortillas and spy at the tripitas through the butcher's window, noting how they were braided. Imagine, braids on tripitas? I'd walk home, all the way on National Street, to a gray Victorian house next to a Spanish restaurant, the only Mexican joint calling itself Spanish in the whole area. How do you like that? El Porvenir, another tortilleria painted in turquoise, stood out on the corner. I played with my avocado green top. Anyway, I lived in apartment number 9. Every now and then I would go out with Jaime and Miguel Estrada, who knew how to part his hair. We would kick back at the Coronet Theater and look at the cool dude, Pedro Infante and Maria Antonieta Pons and her hot legs while we spilled the salt and popcorn, 5 cents, on the floor. One time, I darted out into the street, making a liquor truck break every bottle as it slammed on the brakes. I was chasing Sammy Vasquez, the guy who wanted to dance with my girl, Mercedes Gomez, because she chose me and not him as a square dance partner in 5th grade. Yeah. A couple of years later, the city administration cut a freeway right through our barrio. Everything fell apart, vanished. The little houses with a geranium singing soprano and the elastic kids grew transparent overnight. Me and Arnold Leyva, Raymond Nieto, Johnny, and Eva Estrada would walk out after school across the torn structures and sniff glue in the condemned apartments. Everyone lived in a studio set for a B-movie about the coming of Godzilla, a kind of urban ghost town where Father Rasura arrived one day to serve his time at Guadalupe Church. He showed us films and gave us donuts with chocolate as we sneered and rattled our fancy code languages. So we went to high school, finally. The silent kids in Mr. Whiteman's class, a stern and lanky crowd at lunchtime talking about Eric Fromm, Nietzsche, Zen, and James Brown and his brand new bag. We got into choir, sang in Italian, took auto shop, and ran cross country. By 11th grade, we began to grin, scoping out the moaning, phosphorescent tidal wave coming up somewhere near Ocean Beach, all the way from Rosarito, Ensenada, Mexicali. So when the police dynasty, the president of the zoo, an ex-Navy general, and the mayor, not to mention the vampire architects, decided to build a station across from La Central, still standing, we were ready. Our little red plastic watch had been ticking since we were 7 years old, playing marbles and spinning tops in the sector of the dead. By 67, the sparkling emeralds of the sea were in our hands. And by 70, we laid some of them down, forming a circle in the heart of the wasteland, a simple park. Chicano Park, a reminder to the world that we were on the loose.
My Father in heaven is reading out loud to himself psalms or news. Now he ponders what he's read. No, he is listening for the sound of children in the yard. Was that laughing or crying? So much depends upon the answer, for either he will go on reading or he'll run to save a child's day from grief. As it is in heaven, so it was on earth. Because my father walked the earth with a grave, determined rhythm, my shoulders ached from his gaze. Because my father's shoulders ached from the pulling of oars, My life now moves with a powerful back and forth rhythm, nostalgia, speculation. Because he made me recite a book a month, I forget everything as soon as I read it, and knowledge never comes but while I'm mid-stride a flight of stairs or lost a moment on some avenue. A remarkable disappointment to him, I am like anyone who arrives late in the millennium and is unable to stay to the end of days. The world's beginnings are obscure to me, its outcomes inaccessible. I don't understand the source of starlight or starlight's destinations. And already another year slides out of balance. But I don't disparage scholars. My father was one, and I loved him, who packed his books once and all of our belongings and sat down to await instruction from his God, yes, but also from a radio. At the doorway, I watched, and I suddenly knew he was one like me who got my learning under a lintel. He was one of the powerless to whom knowledge came while he sat among suitcases, boxes, old newspapers, string. He did not decide peace or war, home or exile, escape by land or escape by sea. He waited merely, as always someone waits, far, near, here, hereafter, to find out, is it praise or lament hidden in the next moment?
Raisin eyes. I saw my friend Ella with the tall cowboy at the store the other day in Shiprock. Later I asked her, who's that guy anyway? Oh, Lucy, she said, I knew what was coming. It's terrible. He lives with me and my money and my car. But just for a while, he's an AIRCA and rodeos a lot, and I still work. This rodeo business is getting to me, you know, and I'm going to leave him because I think all this I'm doing now will pay off better somewhere else. But I just stay with him, and it's hard because he just smiles that way, you know, and then I end up paying entry fees and putting shiny Tony Llamas on layaway again. It's not hard. But he doesn't know when I'll leave him, and I'll drive across the flat desert from Red Valley in blue morning light straight to Shiprock so easily. And anyway, my car is already used to humming a morning song with Gary Stewart complaining again of aching and breaking down and out love affairs. Damn, these Navajo cowboys with raisin eyes and pointed boots are just bad news. But it's so hard to remember that all the time, she said with a little laugh.
And you just heard in this session three poets, one Felipe Herrera, Lee Young Lee, and Lucy Tapajanso. And in this hour, from that four-CD set of poems called Poetry on Record, 98 poets read their work, 1888 to 2006. And in a selection from Disc 4, you heard readings by 11 poets. They were, again, Adrian Lewis, or it could be Lewis, and Ann Waldman, Carolyn Forché, Deborah Garrison, Elise Passion, Elizabeth Alexander, James Tate, Joy Harjo, Juan Felipe Herrera, Lee Young Lee, and Lucy Tapajanso. I'm going to play one more song. I told you, and since you know it's coming up, I'll announce it first. Logan Statz, it's going to be another track off of that album. I looked the album up as well, and that did come out in longer ago than, I don't know where time goes, 2023, so not that long ago, but much more than last year. So, like, I kind of thought maybe it was. but anyway, that yeah, it is. It came out in 2023. I hope you've enjoyed the show so far today. I'm going to play this track. Then I'm going to have a few minutes to play some announcements that are recorded. And if there's time, I might even be able to announce a couple of things that are happening here. And we'll see how that works. Anyway, here, since you already know what it's going to be, is, or at least you know the artist, and it's Logan Statz again with A Light in the Attic, and this is actually the title track, so quite a bit different than the first one, too, so I hope you enjoy it.
You don't blame my nose for bleeding all over your Sunday dress. No, I won't blame you for leaving this old house in a mess. She used to wash her makeup off. She would leave her keys at home, make sure all the lights were off. It's one that she forgot, accident or no.
Again, you just heard Logan Statz off of his A Light in the Attic, and with the title track for that song. Again, I'd like to thank you very much for having tuned in to the first hour of the show today. You have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Again, we're located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. And I do hope you can stay tuned to the second hour. I would like to thank you, too, for tuning into this first hour. And you're going to hear eight more poets from that same disc. And to take us there, I've got, or at least to get us closer to the top of the hour, might even go through it. I've got just a few things to air here, so let's do that now, and I'll be right back.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by, it won't bother you. He's a busy man, he's got things to do.
It's all here Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
And it is just now, it's getting pretty close. It's in 15 seconds, I think, of turning to 5 o'clock. So let's go ahead and just pretend that we are getting, we're moving into that second hour of the show today. But one thing I didn't mention in the first hour that I always do at the